This is The Guardian.
I'm Grace Dent, and this is Comfort Eating from The Guardian. A podcast where we pay homage to the lesser celebrated foods in life. Because even as a restaurant critic, I believe the food that matters most is often that snack you cobble together when you're curled up on the sofa. Each week, I ask my guest to lift the lid on what comfort foods have seen them through their lives. Because you can tell a lot about a person from what they eat behind closed doors.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Friends, Christmas is upon us, and you find me in my kitchen, swathed in sequins and adorned with a sparkly Christmas tree headband. And I'll be honest, I'm in a bit of a festive frenzy. Comfort eating as a concept belongs to Christmas. So it's only fitting that we have a Yuletide spectacular for you. In a moment, we have none other than Michael Ball and Alfie Beau arriving. And they are more Christmassy than a chocolate reindeer eating a stuffing sandwich, watching Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Yes, that is how marvellously merry the pair of them are. And I am so filled with nervous excitement, I am tickling my taste buds with a little mince pie.
Do you know how I warmed this up? Air fried it. Something so magical about mince pie.
With their own decorated careers in theatre and opera, Michael Ball and Alfie Beau have teamed up and gone and added chart superstars to their bow. Their first album, called Together, went to number one in the UK album charts back in 2016, eventually going double platinum. As a duo, they have now sold over 1.3 million albums in the UK. They've received 2 Classic Brit Awards, sold out 2 headline arena tours, and presented 3 ITV specials. Is that the doorbell?
Time for one more mouthful.
I'll scoff it en route. Michael Ball and Alfie Beau, welcome to Comfort Eating at Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
it's so good to be here.
I feel like I've alarmed you with how Christmassy I've made this room.
Well, and Christmassy are you. Look at you. It's fantastic. I feel that we've let the side down. You wearing your Christmas pants?
All year round. Yeah. I've got holly in there and everything.
Look, it's not Christmas without getting a gift. I couldn't welcome you here on Christmas morning without getting you something. I thought long and hard about it. What do you buy the men who have it all? I thought about a Lynx Africa gift set each. Then I thought a Bird's Trifle box set, you know, so you could make it. Leisurely, no. I got you both the ingredients of a proper Carlisle Christmas.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
You need to open it.
Proper Carlisle Christmas. Class, festivity, joy.
Oh.
What have you got, Michael?
I've got Archers.
You got Malibu.
Thank you very much.
And I thought you need to treat yourself.
And a fiver.
Oh, my word.
I've sellotaped a fiver to it so you can treat yourself.
Thank you very much.
My granny, every year, she's got to extend to a picture of the Queen.
Every week on Comfort Eating, my guest brings in their ultimate comfort snack. Today, of course, it's Christmas. I've asked you both to bring their ultimate Christmas snack, and I'm going to judge them and let you know your results at the end. Mm-hmm. There can only be one winner, I'm afraid. Michael, please unveil your Christmas snack.
It is. You can see some lovely butter.
There's a bowl that's wrapped in tin foil. He's opened it, and a load of butter.
It's toasted panettone. Which you then slather in, but literally slather.
Have a knife.
We only ever have it at Christmas.
Mm. I think it's actually illegal to eat it at any other time of the year.
But the thing is, you put a lot of butter on because it releases an enzyme, so you actually lose weight as you eat it, and that's an actual fact.
I became
more. You've been telling yourself that.
It's really working. I mean, come on.
But when would you eat this? Would you eat it at Christmas, or is it the run-up?
It's the whole time. It'll be, take the dogs for a nice walk on a wintry day, come back, cup of tea, get the panettone out, toast it. Christmas Day, I might have that in the morning as well as everything else while I'm cooking the dinner, just with a nice, and then a snack at night.
I love those days between Christmas and New Year where you've forgotten what day it is, but all you know is that you've got like a full panettone or a massive Christmas cake to just like chip away at.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there and it's, yeah.
And a ham.
Yeah.
You've got to have all those things.
A turkey and a leg of lamb.
Beat that though, Alf. Yeah. I mean, that's
a strong start.
It's a great.
That is a strong start.
No, I say it myself, it shouldn't.
So, Alfie.
I've got to set up the scene, though. You've had dinner.
Yeah.
You've got a fire going. You've got an old black and white Christmas movie on the telly. Mm. You've got a nice bottle of port. It's all cosy. You're under blankets. You've got your slippers on. You've got your best Christmas sweater and all that. And then out comes a cheese plate.
Bang!
That's a good cheese plate.
I mean, what we've got is two types of soft cheeses. Is that a brie?
Camembert.
That's a camembert.
The camembert is nearly running away.
Yeah.
It's
that's
stinky.
It's trying to escape.
And pungent, yeah. And then we've got this rather stinky, veiny Stilton.
And that's like a goat cheese, I think, isn't it? Goat's cheese.
Being from the northwest of England.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying this as a northwest England person. I didn't know how to slice cheese properly in front of the middle classes. Right. Have you learned that over the years?
I've been cutting the cheese for years.
Do you nose the cheese?
Do you nose the cheese?
Do you know what I mean?
What's nosing
a cheese?
So when you have a camembert, there is a very special way that you're meant to cut it, which doesn't offend polite society.
What?
Exactly. Did you not?
No.
You see, I thought you would have known this.
No.
You have an air about you like a man that could slice
most things, but I've never heard of nosing a cheese.
So you have the round circle of the cheese, and then you've got a triangle.
Yeah.
You don't just cut the end off because you're cutting the pointy bit is the best bit. That's the bit that's the gooeyest.
And that's why you cut that off and give it to yourself.
Exactly. And that is why you would be banned from France. That's the upper classes would be very upset.
What do you do then?
You have to slice it in slices. That means that everybody gets a little bit of the best bits of everything. Mm-hmm. And with the blue cheese, you have to weigh up almost like it's an ordnance survey map, where all the blue bits are, and try and get everyone to have a bit of the blue.
See, with the blue, I normally use a spoon. What was that smoky cheese we always used to have it at?
Bavarian smoked cheese.
I mean, it was the most plasticky tasting thing, but I loved it.
It comes in a brown sheath.
That's it, exactly right.
And it's very adaptable. It looks rude. And you always kind of ended up taking it to the couch with a knife and just cutting bits off and putting it into
so
your
right,
place.
Grace. Oh, that's shameful but true.
So So you're in this very successful partnership, two peas in a pod. The more successful you get, the more time you have to spend together. In reality, are you competitive? Could a Christmas game of Pictionary end in a blowout?
100%. Yeah, we are.
He usually wins everything. The only thing we don't compete against is singing because I'm better.
This is terrific noise that's coming out of him.
The top gear thing, we did the top, you know, the racer, no, Grand Tour. And we had to do the lap round, you know, in a fast car, and we did it, and he was like going for it. Me, I'm having a scream. I'm loving everything. Oh, this is great fun.
I spun out.
Second and a half faster. Second.
But not on every single lap. I was a second faster
that's
than you.
No.
On every practice lap, I was faster than you.
Well, I'm saving myself.
I was faster than you on every practice
lap. You think you'll find that when it came to the actual competition, you lost, I won.
I spun out.
You owe me dinner.
On the road, it started to
rain. Was like 3 years ago. Spoken. Still haven't had the dinner. How weird is that? Just saying.
I think that you've answered the question quite beautifully. You are both wildly successful singers in your own right. But as a pair, I have this theory that you are now the kings of Christmas.
Aww.
I feel that you just snuck up the sidelines of light entertainment and made a land grab for Christmas. And it just feels like suddenly you're like, it's Christmas, where are they?
It's more like Santa Claus and the Grinch. That's what it's like.
I feel like the two of you have very good authority to lay down some jolly jurisdiction on Christmas. First question, how early in the year is it acceptable to get Christmassy?
January. I love Christmas.
Do you?
I love Christmas. Yeah. I get through the whole year aiming for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm a big Christmas fan.
What about you, Michael?
That commercial side, the going into the shops, going into November, it's not cold enough, and it still smells of autumn, and I want it to smell of winter and look like one. I want the leaves gone off the trees.
Let's move to Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And there was mud on that track when I was racing you on the ground. There was mud on it. I spun out. Sorry, Grace.
You've never seen a face like it. You've never seen. He didn't talk to me after.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I think there are two types of people. Those that can enjoy Christmas Eve because everything was prepped a month ago. They can enjoy the company of their family. And then there's those people that are like running around at the last minute trying to locate the only packet of salmon within a 50-mile radius at 8 o'clock. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions. Which one are both of you?
I think I'm last minute. I am running around a little bit. I like it to be perfect. And then I've let that go a little bit.
Yeah.
I've got a lot easier with that word. It doesn't have to be perfect. But when I was a kid, Christmas Eve was crazy. Christmas Eve, 5, 6 year old, I'd get up and go to midnight mass and I'd be falling asleep and just willing this service to get over and so I could go home and open my presents. And my mum would let us open the presents on Christmas Eve. So I'd like
all of them?
All of them, yeah.
Wow.
Because we'd been to church. And I'd get all my Scalextrics out and all the toys and everything and it'd all be ready and I'd be like, I can't believe I've got all this. And then she said, right, bedtime. And it's like, what?
No, you couldn't play with them.
You couldn't play with them, no. So it's like bedtime and you had to go to bed and then get up the following day and it'd all be there. But, you know.
So we have the tradition that you can open one present
after
midnight. I'm now really chilled. I've got it all sorted.
So you're prepared on Christmas Eve?
Absolutely.
See, 100%. I'm always missing something.
I always do the cooking. That's my thing. I know where everything is. I've got it done. I probably even parboiled the sprouts and the roasters.
Oh, that's next level, though. Like, people that parboil and then put them in Ziploc bags, that is like a...
Just in a thing of... Yeah, it's great. But Mary Berry, I bless you.
I always think that's just somebody who's hiding in the kitchen from their family.
No, open plan. Everyone's in there with me.
No, it's just a control freak.
I am.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's my only job. My only job is the catering. I don't do any washing up. I don't do any getting rid of the wrapping paper. I just provide the food, provide the drink and sleep.
How do you feel as the Kings of Christmas, Kings of Song? How do you feel about carolers? How do you feel about an ad hoc group of carolers at your front door?
I don't answer.
It really, really annoys me. You know, ding dong, God rest you, Merry Gentle.
Oh, no.
No preparation. They've done nothing and they just got their hand out. They wish you a Merry Christmas, that's Happy New Year.
Every single carol that used to come round to our house was like, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Well, you're not really wishing us a Merry Christmas. You're just miserable as hell. Learn some other bloody song.
Learn a harmony.
Learn a tune.
Yeah.
I feel like you've both made a rod for your own back here by slagging off carolers, because
what
is the best carol?
Houses
what?
Yeah,
so, what is the best carol to sing in the freezing open air in a group?
I love "O Come All You Faithful" because I know the descant.
Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, you know that bit.
I do know. That. And in
should
church,
we go carol singing.
Yeah,
let's go carol singing around Barnes. We could get a ton of money.
No, they're really tight in Barnes.
Is that where you live?
Yeah. Okay.
If I had carolers coming to the house, it would probably be "Good King Wenceslas."
Oh, yeah.
That's my favourite.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I like the "Deep Pound Christmas Eve, right me home that night, for the frost was cruel, when a poor man came inside, gathering winter fuel."
We both went into the same harmony.
You never do the harmony.
I know, but I thought I would. It's Christmas.
Oh, my God, there's no feeling like the double harmony of you both coming out. It's very exhilarating. So I need to know both of your position on stockings. Christmas.
I love wearing stockings. Yeah. I like them to have a line up the back.
Really?
Yeah.
To draw it on.
I draw it on if I can't afford the.
I meant Christmas stockings, of course.
Oh.
Are you households that still do Christmas stockings?
I grew up in a big Irish Catholic family, and there was like five sisters, three brothers. We couldn't afford like the fancy stockings and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what we had? A leg of my mum's tights. A leg of my mum's tights from the year before, which I bought her for Christmas, you know, from Marks and Spencer's.
And she's not a big woman, so it wouldn't be a big tight.
No, but you shove a tangerine in the bottom, you spin it around a bit and it stretches. And you can get like a ton of Quality Street in there, man. It's brilliant. You can get like a bicycle in there, for crying out loud. My sister did that. We'd get a car in it. No, can you imagine what our fireplace looked like?
How many of you?
All these like brown tea stained tights on the fireplace. Not very festive.
I love that look.
Muggers.
I'm just off to get the presents.
Lumpy tights with walnuts and tangerines. So you're from a big family.
Yeah, yeah.
Must have been noisy at Christmas.
Oh, it was great. It was really cool. One year, this is what my dad did. One year, so we could all sit together. There was like my brothers and sisters, their partners, their husbands and wives, and their kids. And so we could all sit together around the same table. My dad knocked a hole in the wall of the dining room and the living room, and he put one long table right away.
Oh, down God, the love him. Right. That's amazing.
And then after Christmas, he bricked it up. It was great. We all sat around this table, and the table was covered with food. It was brilliant.
Just amazing. Covered in like plaster and brick dust.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. 6 factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.
So the big day arrives. We need to discuss Christmas breakfast, a crucial part of the day. For some people, this is just a chance to get cracking on the fizz. For others, a stomach-lining bacon roll. Michael, if I woke up at your house on Christmas morning, a girl's got to dream. What would I be getting?
You'd be handed a... first of all, we have a lie-in now because everyone's older. So it's the greatest thing that's ever happened when the kids get old enough that they don't want to get out of bed for Christmas. Thank the good Lord. So it's fairly chilled. Wake up, handed a Bucks Fizz straight away to start, and little smoked salmon blini things.
Yes.
Already prepared.
Wow.
that'll be while we're doing presents. Cup of tea, Bucks Fizz, little nibbly bits. And then it's into a bacon sandwich.
Wow. Alfie, my hunch is that you get up at the crack of dawn to make your own hollandaise sauce for the Benedicts.
Oh, of course I do that every single year. That hollandaise sauce and me are like that.
Yeah. You know?
Just getting the ultimate consistency to wow them.
That's exactly what I do, yeah.
What do you actually do on Christmas morning?
It's usually a scrambled egg or something, or bacon sandwich. Or if in America, what we have done with the kids is like have pancakes.
What's the best gift that either of you have ever been given?
Oh.
Can I be cheesy?
Absolutely. Our
number one album, when we woke up on Christmas Day and it was the first album and it had gone to number one, it was incredible. Not foreseen. Yeah. I had no idea it was going to happen. And it was, I remember us speaking on Christmas morning going,
"That's pretty cool.
Look what we'd look." It was just magical. Magical.
Christmas lunch. Let's face it, it's why we're all here. Best part of the day. And everybody has an opinion on how it's put together. Some people don't like turkey, it's too dry. Some people, Yorkshire puddings they want on the plate.
100%. Even,
absolutely.
Some people can't, it's not a plate unless it's got sprouts for Christmas. What makes the perfect plate at Christmas? Let's start with meat. Where do we stand on turkey?
It's got to be turkey. It has to, and you have to cook it right. You have to put the effort in. You don't have to eat a lot of it. You can fill up with sausage meat and all the other bits around, but you've got to have turkey. That has to be your crown jewel.
See, my bloke wants to make beef. He's from a French family.
My sister does that.
And he will get a really good piece of beef. We will still have the turkey, but then the beef comes out and he'll have put if spices and things on it, and everybody looks at the turkey and then they go they go for the beef, but we still have to have the turkey on the table to make it Christmas.
Don't give them the option.
No option.
There's no options.
So Michael is quite strict. Basically, you can have turkey or you can go home. What about you, Alfie?
Well, I mean, we are competitive, so I usually go for swan.
She'd see him catching them.
Yes. Christmas mornings, no sight like seeing Alfie strangling a swan.
Midnight on the Thames. The Queen wouldn't have minded, or the King now, he owns them all, doesn't he?
The King's Christmas.
No, I have to agree with your fella. Mm. I go for beef. I go for a really nice rib of beef. Yeah. I've done all the turkeys. I've done the turducken and all that sort of stuff where they shove a bird inside a bird inside a bird. If it's gone from like a sparrow to a bloody, you know, to an ostrich.
To an ostrich,
you know, it's like,
you know that turducken.
Turducken,
like,
yeah.
There's just, I know it's probably delicious, but there's something about the thought of the process of them just entering birds into birds.
I know, it's a
bit
weird.
It's not, it feels medieval.
It's like a feathered orgy or something.
Exactly, it's not Christmassy.
No, it's not good. But it's also, it doesn't, it tastes really bad.
I've never had
it. You've got all these different flavours mingling and the juices from one bird going into the other and it's just, I don't do that. I do like the proper rib of beef. I've even done like a really cool leg of lamb for Christmas dinner, which is lovely.
But would you still have the turkey on the side?
No.
No, if you're not buying a little turkey, because then I've seen that, like with my family, it feels like someone needs to have white meat or something on the table. So then it gets down to having a chicken on the side of the beef.
If I was going to do a turkey, I'd get a turkey roll or turkey breast. And or a couple of breasts, whatever, and just use that for sandwiches.
That is the most Northwest England thing you've ever said.
Is that right?
Gonna get a crown.
Gonna get a crown.
Lovely crown. Very moist. Don't need the legs.
There's no bother.
Just
slice it for the butties.
We should talk trimmings. Stuffing.
Definitely. Yeah.
Posh stuffing. Paxo.
Paxo, all the way.
Thank you very much.
Three different kinds.
All the
way.
What?
You need to put one lot in the breast. You need to have one lot separately cooked, and you need another bit up the jacksie. Different tastes.
And are we talking that fancy apricot bejeweled Heston Blumenthal?
What are you doing?
Stuff with gold
ingots.
You really
ingots. Do live in barns, don't you? I'm in Acton.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have Paxo in all different places of the bird.
Christmas is a time for reflection, thinking about the year gone by, what's gone right, what's gone wrong, the people we've lost. Do you get sentimental at Christmas?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like you say, the people that you've lost. Family members, friends, but you know, it's also a time to celebrate them and remember the Christmases that you did have. My dad used to make his own wine, and leading up to Christmas, make his own wine, make his own beer, and he always used to brew it in the kitchen, in the corner cupboard, and it was like a hot cupboard where he'd put the wine in and it'd all filter and all that sort of stuff. And this was pretty disastrous. Christmas Day, all the boys went to the pub for a beer. I wasn't old enough, so I was still at home. And my mum and my sisters got sick of like being left at home doing the dinner. The boys are in the pub, you know, your dad's in the pub. It's terrible. We just get left here and there's nothing. Open that wine that your dad's been brewing. And it wasn't finished. It wasn't done. So it was like nearly 200% proof. And I came downstairs to play with my toys, and all I could see is my sisters and my mum rolling around on the kitchen floor, absolutely off the faces, having drunken all this wine. The dinner was a disaster. Everything was burned. The smoke coming out of the oven, the whole the dog was on fire. It was just
brilliant.
So it's a sentimental time.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's a time of taking stock, I think it is. You know, you think, first of all, as we get older, it's coming around quicker and quicker. It's terrifying. And, you think about all the people that you've shared it with in the... I always think how lucky I am to be with the people that I'm with and missing the people that I'd love to be with. Of course it is. It's the same for everyone.
I'll be here this year. It's
okay. I'll be home for Christmas.
I love it when he sings and you go,
That's the story of our lives.
Just look at me with these eyes that have seen so much. Help me. Okay, everyone's had their third helping of turkey, even though you're looking at the bird, it doesn't seem to have got any smaller. Still exactly the same. Plates have been cleared away. Trimmings are on the side, ready for a sandwich. What are we doing next? Is it cheese, brandy? What's happening right after dinner?
It's collapsing telly on while everyone else gets on with the washing up.
Oh, you see, yeah. You
washing
kind
up
of...
straight away.
Kath can't sit and look at dirty plates.
It feels to me like your Christmas, Michael, starts in the middle of December with prep, 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 yeah, prep, yeah. prep, right till Christmas Eve, prep, prep, Christmas morning prep, and then at this point,
done,
bang.
Yeah.
And this is when you start to live like kind of a Tudor monarch. That,
yes, absolutely. Henry VIII, it's smug. Look what I've done for you. I think it's time you gave something back to me, don't you? So like, no guilt associated, nothing. So they all crack on with the clearing up. And
you rise from the Christmas table and you walk towards your sofa where you lie. With, I mean, do you change pants?
I'm in my pants. I love sitting in my pants. Christmas is the season of the elasticated waist. Oh. You know,
why do you wear it all year round?
It's always Christmas in my life.
We forget the dishes; they'll get done. No, we start playing records. We start getting the drinks out, pouring a few more beers, getting the wine out. We have a celebration. We carry on and we just make it last and last. Yeah, you know, we don't go and crash in front of the telly. We spend time with each other, we're dancing. By the end of it, we're all hammered.
What record do you put on?
Oh, my goodness. I'll put on something like... Well, we'll put on a regular Christmas album, which will be like 70s rock, so it'll be like Wizard and Slade and all that sort of stuff. And then we'll just go through the collection. We'll go through some soul songs, some soul albums, you know, Aretha. We'll do Elvis. It all has to be disco or dancey and party. Yeah. So Bee Gees we'll put on and stuff like that.
I'm always relieved on Christmas Day when it's really bad weather because then no one...
has to do the walk.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Isn't that a relief?
Yeah. I send them... They go for the walk while I'm doing the dinner, you see. I don't have to do the walk. I'm so with you.
I think that is a class thing as well. Working class people never went for a walk on Christmas Day. It's only when I hung around with the middle classes, that fear in my eye when I realised people were putting on Gore-Tex. Yeah. It's like, let's walk for 7 miles. Let's not.
Let's really not do that. It's strange for us, though, because I'm sure Elf's the same. As an adult, because pretty well every Christmas I've been working. And if you're working in the theatre, you do a show on Christmas Eve and you've usually got a show on Boxing Day. So you only have Christmas Day off. Mm. So physically you just have to, you know, because there's always a much tougher schedule at Christmas. They put in extra matinees and stuff to give you the one day off.
Is it important to be at home?
Yeah, of course it is. And I've hated it when I've been away. Worst Christmas of my life in New York, when I was doing a show called Woman in White, and none of the family could come over, only Kath could come over. And it was just miserable. First time ever went out for Christmas lunch at some place which wasn't great. And
who were you with?
Just Kathy. And, you know, the first time she'd ever been away from her daughter and the kids, the grandkids. And so she wasn't, it was just, and we said, never again. Mm. Never, never again. We'll be together. Whatever happens, and we always have been.
That's cool.
We're on Christmas Day, late afternoon. I want to tell you both a secret. This part of the day is my favourite. Christmas Day, you've got all the leftovers. To me, it's the roast potatoes with that slightly congealed gravy, you know? And then maybe, you know when you've made bread sauce... But no one actually wants it. You just need to put it on the table to show people. Yeah. And then you get the bread sauce and then you put that on top of the congealed potatoes and then you just stand up eating it. You don't even bring it through. You don't bring it through. You're just like going, You're like, I don't know why I'm putting on weight. I don't know. I think we all do, Grace. I think we do. You know, and it's that. What is your favourite snack? What's the leftover snack you love?
I love the pigs in blankets, cold. They're really nice. But everything, all I need to have is a jar of pickles with everything else that's all cold. You know, the Christmas dinner gone cold. We'll always have a ham on the go as well that will last over the whole period. But I need some piccalilli. I need little pickle gherkins. I need pickles. Red cabbage. Yeah. Got to have red cabbage. And just mountains of all of that.
Pickle things.
Even the turkey breast. Because I'm not a mad turkey, cold turkey liker. But the pickle juice will soak into it. Yes. And it just brings everything to life. So just pickles.
It's going into the kitchen and pulling out like a, you know, one of those Warburton's toasty loaves.
I do. I'm aware.
Putting lashings of butter on it, getting your turkey, slicing it.
Yeah.
Making a sandwich, putting your stuffing on, slicing pickled onions, putting that on as well.
So it's the preparation as well as everything in it. For you.
Salt, pepper, a whole lot. Squash a roaster, shove that in as well. What the hell?
Mayo? Is there some mayo in there?
No.
Doing a layer of congealed gravy.
Bit of congealed gravy to dip it in.
Bit of cranberry.
Yeah, a little bit of cranberry, actually, on one side.
Do you remember that Friends episode where Ross had the Christmas sandwich and someone stole his Christmas sandwich?
Yeah.
I was him. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's like that's the thing that pushes him over the edge.
Someone stole his Christmas sandwich.
Christmas is a time of love, togetherness, and massive family blowouts. The politics of Christmas leaves me weak and exhausted sometimes. Do you need to tread carefully around Christmas?
Well, one should, but one sometimes has a little bit too much warnings advocar. That's the trouble. You have a little bit to drink and it loosens the tongue. Mm. But we've never had a big major fallout.
Not a big EastEnders one. You've never did that. No, the round, you know, I always call it the roundhouse retribution, where you stand up and you go, and then you have to go to your bedroom for a while. Yeah,
and lie down and have a word with yourself. Yeah. No, we've never had that.
I watch a lot of other people doing that. And I keep my mouth shut. I stay out of it. That's when I go and do the dishes.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a massive family, so you must be able to kind of just have a ringside seat to.
Oh, it's brilliant sometimes. When my sisters get going, you know, it's World War III. It's amazing.
It's a very special time in the podcast. We're drawing to a close and it's time for me to reveal the winner of the ultimate Christmas snack. And I haven't given this a lot of thought during the interview because I've been enjoying it so much. And now I'm on the spot. They are both bloody brilliant snacks. One of them needs a lot of prep. The other one is just the gift that keeps on giving and you can eat it with one hand and prepare it with one hand. It has to be the panettone.
Thank you. I'm so sorry, Alfie.
Okay. It was just, I'll show you my workings.
Yes. How did you come to that conclusion?
Cheese can be eaten at all times of the year. Mm. And yet the panettone, if you're seen eating that at any other time of the year, it's a sign of madness.
Yeah.
Not in Italy.
Where? And there was something at what Michael brought to the panettone was that he said that you must smother it in lashings of butter. And I think
you can
that
do that on a Jacob's cream cracker too.
I think a lot of people have been missing that trick. And I think that it was just delicious and heartwarming.
Thank you, Grace.
There you go.
Alfie Bow.
Yes, love.
And Michael Ball. Thank you for making me feel so incredibly festive. It is almost time for you to get back on your sleigh. Before I let you go, can I ask for a very special gift?
What?
I know.
I've got the mistletoe somewhere.
I know you must get sick to death of Christmas songs sometimes, but there must be one that when you see it on the list, you think, yes, because you just love 70s singing it together. It might not even be your favourite. It might just be the one that always makes you laugh when you see it because neither of you remember the words or whatever it is. And I need a little blast.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the Grand Hotel. Wonders of away. And it's a wet
snow is falling all around me. Children playing, having fun. It's the season, love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Where do we invoice?
Oh, you totally got me. Oh, Michael Ball and Alfie Boss, thank you for comfort eating with me. I feel like I'm going to cry.
That was a blessing.
This episode of Comfort Eating was produced by Jack Claremont. The executive producer is Lucy Greenwell. The music was written by Axel Kakutier. Mixing and sound design was by Alice Boyd. If you like Comfort Eating, then please go and leave us a review and you can follow or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And use the hashtag ComfortEatingPod to get in touch about the podcast or share your own comfort eating delights.
This is The Guardian.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.